how can I make the highest impact today, right? Right? That is like the only thing on your mind. How do I make the highest impact?
Hello, and welcome to The Green Pill. I'm Kevin Iwaki, and this is the podcast about public goods and regenerative crypto economics. This episode is with Carl Flourish, who is the co-founder of Optimism and one of the primary advocates in the Ethereum ecosystem for public goods funding. I've known Carl for a couple years now, and he inspires me on many levels. The first is just the level of energy and optimism through which he operates. The second is his sheer brilliance in working at the Plasma Group and then later on Optimistic Rollups and launching the Optimism Layer 2 network. So I think that Optimism is a really exciting place because it's one of the best Layer 2s out there in the Ethereum ecosystem. And they've also pledged to give $1 million of their first sequencer fees to public goods in the Ethereum ecosystem through what's called retroactive public goods funding. So Carl continues to be a source of inspiration for me, and I hope that he gives you inspiration for what public goods in the Ethereum ecosystem could become. Without further ado, I give you Carl Flourish.
Alchemix is a DeFi app that offers self-repaying loans that lets you spend money and save money at the same time. Alchemix allows you to deposit the DAI stablecoin into its vaults, which earns some of the highest yields that DeFi has to offer. You can then take a loan from Alchemix of up to 50% of the deposited DAI, and that loan automatically pays itself back from the yield that is generated from your deposit. It's a savings account that the banks don't want you to know about. Alchemix also has ETH vaults available, so you can get a self-repaying loan that's denominated in ETH. Coming up in Alchemix V2 is a bunch of cool new features, such as credit delegation, multi-chain expansion, and DAO revenue sharing and vote boosting. Alchemix lets you get your interest payments on your deposits paid to you upfront. Check out the power of Alchemix at alchemix.fi, and make sure to join their extremely vibrant Discord if you want to participate in governance or have any questions about the project. Bankless is proud to be sponsored by Uniswap. Uniswap is a new paradigm in asset exchange infrastructure. Instead of a cumbersome order book system where trades are matched with other humans, Uniswap is an autonomous piece of software on Ethereum that lets you trade any token at the current market price. No human counterparties or centralized intermediaries, just autonomous code on Ethereum. Input the token you want to sell and receive the token you want to buy. The Uniswap Grants Program is accepting applications for grants. Do you have something of value that you think you want to contribute to the Uniswap ecosystem? No matter how big or small your idea is, you can apply for a unique grant at uniswapgrants.org and help steer Uniswap in the direction that you think it should go. Thank you, Uniswap, for sponsoring Bankless.
I am here with my co-conspirator in regenerative crypto economics, Carl Flourish, the co-founder of Optimism and of retroactive public goods funding. Carl, what's up? How you doing?
I'm pretty good. I'm really excited to be here and excited to take the green pill.
So tell us, how did you get into crypto and how did you come to founding Optimism?
Well, I guess it all started with my mom and my dad, actually. My dad being a kind of radical political contrarian, and my mom being a Hindu, you know, universal consciousness kind of person. And then and then growing up on things like World of Warcraft, getting me into the metaverse, kind of all of those things combined. It was such a natural fit in around like 2015, where I just saw these DevCon Zero videos with Vitalik, and I was like, oh my gosh, I gotta get involved. I gotta start doing peer-to-peer stuff. Google is not for me. Dove right in, worked at Consensus, and then stopped doing that and worked on Casper with Vitalik and Vlad, and traveled around the world and talked about Ethereum. And it has been a whirling roller coaster ride ever since.
Sure. I'm realizing now that you and I overlapped at Consensus probably in 2017, back in the day.
Yeah, we
did.
That's
where Gitcoin got its start as well. So I recall that you were a founder of Plasma Group, which was doing research on Plasma, and that's become Optimism, which is one of the top layer twos based off optimistic rollups. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, definitely. Okay, so what happened was, you know, was working at Ethereum, and we needed to scale this thing. It was known from, you know, from the inception that we needed to scale up the core software, the core protocol. And there was really a question of whether or not, you know, we scale it at the kind of base layer using layer one, or if we allow for a little bit of permissionless innovation and start scaling at layer two. And so myself, Jing, Ben, Kelvin, we all kind of formed this group, this ragtag coalition called Plasma Group, which was exploring and researching kind of the deepest depths of Plasma, which was a layer two technology that is now being kind of brought into fruition, kind of evolved into this whole optimistic roll up space, and has served as a lot of foundational elements. So we for that technology. So we worked on it from 2018, 2019, and then realized that there were some fundamental limits that made Plasma not quite perfect for scaling Ethereum, that we needed to really scale Ethereum at its essence. And we were like, okay, let's do this. Let's fund Optimism PBC, a public benefit corporation, to scale Ethereum using Layer 2, because we can innovate, we can permissionlessly change the protocol and build what we needed to build. So that was really amazing. But there was actually a side story that I think is relevant to to this podcast. And that actually has to do more with the public benefit corporation side of things. Plasma Group was a nonprofit, and we set out to scale Ethereum, and clearly, scaling Ethereum is a quintessential public good for the Ethereum ecosystem. It is extremely, right, extremely important for everyone. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that it was extremely difficult to get the funding, to get the talent, to get people to rally behind scaling Ethereum at a normal nonprofit. And that's just because there's no potential upside. There's no kind of path forward once you actually do scale Ethereum.
Right.
And there wasn't even a lot of funding for scalability research in Ethereum. Right. Like the block reward.
What was the Vitalik post that said this billions of dollars per year is given to the block reward, which is a public good. It's securing the Ethereum network. But 1/1000th of that actually goes to researchers. And I wonder if that's because we don't value that public good, or if it's just because it's hard to prove the usefulness of it. With proof of work, you have the proof of work. But you can't have a proof of knowledge work for code, because it's almost like, well, the code I wrote this morning, I don't know if it'll ever go live. And even if it does it even provide value? So do you think it's combined with people not appreciating public goods, or the unprovability of the value of that public good, or both, or something else?
Without question, it's both. I think that it was... It is the case that we did not build these. Okay. Ethereum solved a lot of problems, right? It really did amazing. It's a full technology stack from the peer-to-peer layer to the consensus layer, everything. So they did not solve governance as well, right? And governance is probably the hardest problem to solve, because what you're talking about with like determining what is valuable is really a governance question. So it was so natural that we just say, okay, you know what? We can't solve governance. We know that we need to be supporting and building these public goods. Let's just kick the problem down the road, and let's give the money to the miners. We know we need to fund them. And it worked for a while, but it eventually has become very obvious that there is a huge market failure here. Like, this is absolutely the most egregious market failure in the Ethereum ecosystem, in my opinion, is the lack of public goods funding that we have seen thus far.
Right. Okay. And so it was these insights that kind of led you just it was moving from Plasma, which I understand, to Optimism, which is about generalizable computation at a layer two, but also bundling in maybe an economic model into the work that you were doing, going from a nonprofit to a public benefit corporation, which I understand is focused on is a for-profit entity, but it is focused on public benefit as well. Is that right?
Exactly. So we have a charter to enshrine fair access to public goods. That means that is, you know, the number one thing. We need to do that to fulfill our mission as a corporation. And that mentality it's great. And public benefit corporations are really great vehicles for doing public goods work, but it was not just the structure of the entity that we care about. In fact, the entity structure is just a temporary thing. The real lasting change is going to be rewiring the economic system that exists on Ethereum today, where transaction fees, instead of just going to miners, can actually go back to fund public goods for the whole community. That was a key motivating factor. That is, in fact, that is why it's so important that we scale Ethereum. It's because we have an opportunity to create that system that will fund public goods and will govern those public goods and the protocol in a fair and representative way.
What I think is interesting about what Optimism is doing is that it's bundling a bleeding edge technology with almost a sort of political belief, which is that public goods are good. And when you use the Optimism network, you're not only benefiting from that technology, but you're getting that bundled ethos. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really like the financial infrastructure that you use should support your values and care about your values. And so I want to use Optimism, right? Because I care, because I will be benefiting from the public goods, and I believe in the pursuit of public goods and the green pill and all that.
Right. Okay. Well, I guess what I want to, like, the big idea to me here is bundling one of the most successful layer twos in the Ethereum ecosystem. And by the way, the Ethereum scaling roadmap is all about shards in layer two. Bundling that with retroactive public goods funding. So could you tell us about retroactive public goods funding in the world that you want to create using that?
Absolutely. So Vitalik really had, I mean, Vitalik is the genesis of literally like every idea. It's pretty ridiculous, honestly. One idea that Vitalik has had recently and just has captivated me ever since was this idea that you should fund public goods that have already had an impact. And this idea is like really simple, right? It's literally just retroactive. Something that has already happened, that has already had a positive impact, you give money to the people who did that. And the point is that you'd give it to them without an expectation that they're going to do more work, right? It is a literal reward for their impact, for the public good that they have created. And the weird thing about retroactive public goods funding is that immediately you're like, okay, if everything was retroactive, then how am I going to get paid a salary, right? How am I going to actually get paid for my work? And the funny thing is, it's actually a second order effect. This is the key insight is that if you consistently pay people for the work that they provide and the value that they contribute to the public good, then you will start to see people investing in the public goods.
Right.
It's not this like immediate, you know, feedback. You're not paying someone a salary. You are instead incentivizing the investment in public goods. And so the way that this kind of hooks in is it's like, okay, if you're transacting whatever the source of funding is, right, you can accumulate these huge payouts based on the massive amounts of economic financial activity that we will have as a globe, right? Mm-hmm. You generate all this stuff and then you use that to essentially reward people who helped you get there, right? You look at their mm-hmm. contributions, you see who has been unfairly rewarded. Let me give back to them.
Right. So would it be fair to say that this is an original insight back at Plasma Group, which is that it's hard to rally talent around nonprofits. What if we created a world in which public goods are as investable as the average VC startup that has 1,000x upside, because we've created a world where public goods funding has billions of dollars of capital flowing towards it? Then you get this upstream effect where VCs will start looking for projects that create public goods in open source software or climate or journalism or whatever public good. So it's about creating that world in which you can rally capital around public goods. Is that fair to say?
Beautifully put, beautifully put.
So how'd the first experiment go? You all just finished retroactive public goods round one. Tell us about that.
Indeed, we did. So we gave away $1 million. We had a collection of 24 what we call badge holders who were essentially evaluating these projects, discussing them in the open, and kind of considering figuring out what good Ethereum, what Ethereum public goods should we retroactively reward. And it was great. It was, I mean, it was honestly pretty amazing to be able to do that in the first place. And just, you know, that is the very beginning, right? This will be table stakes when, you know, a year from now. But it was, there were actually some interesting challenges that we found there that we weren't really expecting. One of them was that it wasn't immediately obvious what a public good is. Or how to really, you know, what to retroactively fund. Because in reality, it's kind of, there's a little bit of a gradient in terms of, you know, how you define public goods, what a good is, who's, you know, benefiting, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, totally.
And so, yeah, so it was really not super easy. But we came, one framework that actually was really helpful in thinking about this was the fairness ratio. So the fairness ratio is something that some folks over at Uniswap during a dinner conversation suggested. Shout out to, you know, those folks. Anyway, it is impact over profit. So impact divided by profit. So essentially what you want is you want everything to be fair, right? You want everyone to give one value, you know, one unit of impact and receive one unit of profit, right? You want value in to equal value out, right? Because that's like, if we can define what we value as a society, as a collective, as a public, and then we can give people the value that they have put into the system to the public, then you can start operating as an actor in that system, knowing that you'll be rewarded. You think, okay, how can I make the highest impact today? Right. That is like the only thing on your mind. How do I make the highest impact? So so we realized that, okay, projects that have made a bunch of profits, even though they have added a huge amount of like value and they have had a huge impact, but if they've made a huge amount of profits, maybe they're not the right targets for these retroactive rewards. Right. And instead, we should be giving profits, like increasing the profits of the public goods that are underfunded right now. And so actually, in some ways, public goods funding is almost about, you know, making the economy a little bit fairer and correcting market inefficiencies. So anyway, that was I did not expect that kind of discussion when going into experiment one.
It's an interesting governance problem. It reminds me about how on Gitcoin grants, there has been backlash against people who have raised tokens or VCs continuing to get Gitcoin grants funding. Like, hands off, keep the money for the public goods that have not raised that money. And like, it's like the same governance problem, but chopped up in different bits in both ecosystem. And it's kind of fun to look in the mirror and to hear how y'all have handled it. Yeah. I do want to ask, so like, what's the end game with retroactive public goods funding? You know, paint me a picture of, let's say it's 2025. What does the world look like? What is the world that you want to build with retro public goods funding?
The world that I want, that I hope exists, that I hope I can participate in, because that's what this is about, right? It's a world where all of my digital assets, my financial activity, my crazy Web3 metaverse activity, all of that stuff contributes to values that I believe in and contributes to making a fairer, more just society where I know that I can focus on value add, right? I don't need to think about anything other than let me make a real big impact. That if that exists, right? I mean, I'm obsessed with emergent complexity. I'm obsessed with like emergence generally as a thing. And I have this sneaking suspicion that the crazy, like the world, I mean, you talk about the solar punk stuff, right? Like the incredible just potential future that we can live in, that the simple rule that gets us there, well, there are a couple of simple rules, but you know what I mean? It's there's one, correctly aligning the values, determining what we value, right? Coming up with systems for deciding the values of our society as a, you know, species, right? That's one. And then the other one is reflecting those values in our economic infrastructure and making sure people who put in value get out value. So I'm really hopeful that in 2025, I can work for a DAO doing whatever I want to do that I think is going to really have a huge impact. I don't have to worry about profit. I know it's covered. And I just, I'm just contributing. I'm just a worker bee, you know?
Right. So, so is there an, like, would it be fair to say that there's an asymmetry between value created and value captured with legacy business models and the way that the world works right now? And the more that we can close that asymmetry between the value you create in the world and the value you can capture, the more people can just focus on creating value as opposed to capturing value. Is that a fair reflection of what you said?
Precisely, yes. And it just, one of the dependencies of that is that people do feel like the right values are being rewarded, right? We do reward things that we value in some messed up sense, right? But we don't have good mechanisms right now for collectively determining our values. And so that is a key ingredient, this whole governance question. And I think for that, it's really going to, it's going to require a lot of iterations and innovations. But yes, that is the future I want to live in.
So you mentioned what is the mechanism through which we determine our values, and I want to double click on that because I think it's really interesting. One of the things that I've realized is that when I buy something on Amazon and like it improves my life, like a new computer monitor or something like that, I really appreciate it because I spent money on that and I know that I value it. One of the things I've noticed is that people, public goods are kind of like out of sight, out of mind, and there's like a there's kind of like an asymmetry there where. Public goods are actually really, really important, but because they're out of sight, out of mind, I don't appreciate them as much. So like, you know, what's the value of having a new computer monitor if the sky is on fire or if you have lung cancer because of like not clean air or like, you know, you don't have open source software. And so I think that there's an asymmetry there. And I guess what I'm teeing up for you, Carl, is, you know, what's your favorite public good or like what's your top three list of public goods that you think are good?
Okay. Wow. I got a long list. Okay. This is not an ordered list. It's too hard to choose. You can't rank these kinds of things.
Yeah,
my God.
Of course. Yeah.
one of them is definitely, information dissemination. So one public good is I want open source software that allows me to better reflect my values or I want my software that I use every day to better reflect my values. And that can go from anything from my Twitter feed, what things get, you know, populated there, the way that I'm able to spread information. Like I want public goods that help us spread pro-cooperative information or pro, like, you know, societally helpful information. I think that's that's going to enable a lot of other public goods.
Right. Okay. So like WAGMI Media, like reminds us that we're all in it together and helps us disseminate information that reflects our values and helps us work together.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I mean, look, I want to get mad at people too, you know, like I want to feel like angry at the other tribes too, but like, I just want that to be like correctly channeled into the right avenues. So I'm not, anyway, that's one thing. The other one is, of course, I mean, low key, this is my recent, I've recently just been listening to some podcasts on environmental protection. And I'm like, my God, it is legit. Like this is the long-term future of humanity. Really, really interesting to think about. I definitely am very wasteful, but I don't want to be, I would love to improve that. And then the last one, which is of course the most key to my current existence, is the scalability of this financial infrastructure. I really want Ethereum to succeed and to support the global economy because I think every human matters and we should include every human and be able to include every human.
Amazing. Yeah, if you didn't put the scalability of Ethereum on there, I think I would have had to kick you under the table and say, hey man, show some optimism or some Gitcoin grants. That'd be fine too.
Living a bankless life requires taking control of your own private keys. Not your keys, not your crypto. That's why so many in the bankless nation already have their Ledger hardware wallet. But the Ledger ecosystem is much more than just a secure hardware wallet. Ledger is the combination of the Ledger hardware wallet, the Ledger Live app, and soon, the CL Crypto Life card powered by Ledger. The CL card powered by Ledger is a crypto debit card with powerful features like an instant exchange to fiat, where crypto assets are only sold at the moment that you swipe your card, and also credit from crypto collateral, where you can collateralize your crypto assets in order to get a higher credit limit. You'll be able to manage your CL card powered by Ledger inside the Ledger Live app, right next to all the DeFi apps and services that you're already used to using, making the Ledger Live app your one-stop shop for all of your financial needs. Go to ledger.com, grab a Ledger, and download Ledger Live to get all of your DeFi applications all in one place. Arbitrum is an Ethereum scaling solution that's going to completely change how we use DeFi and NFTs. Over 250 projects have already deployed on Arbitrum, and Arbitrum's DeFi and NFT ecosystems are growing rapidly. Arbitrum increases Ethereum speed by orders of magnitude for a fraction of the cost of the average gas fee. When interacting with Arbitrum, you can get the performance of a centralized exchange while tapping into Ethereum's level of decentralization and security. If you're a developer who wants low gas fees and instant transactions for your users, visit developer.offchainlabs.com to get started building your application on Arbitrum. If you're a user, keep an eye out for your favorite DeFi apps or NFT projects building on Arbitrum. Many of your favorite apps are already live, with many more coming over soon. You can find these apps at portal.arbitrum.one, and you can bridge your assets over to Arbitrum using bridge.arbitrum.io in order to experience DeFi and NFTs the way it was always meant to be: fast, cheap, and friction-free.
So I want to ask you a couple closing questions, and I think that this last one is kind of meta because you work for a project called Optimism. But Carl, you are consistently one of the most charismatic, energetic, and optimistic speakers for public goods, and I want to ask where your optimism comes from, where that energy comes from when you're rapping about this stuff.
Rapping is the opportune word. I would say that there's a level of, first off, I feel blessed to be in this community. And so I feel grateful. And so the energy that I put out, I really do feel like I get it, you know, and it's more of a reflection. Like the people here are just unbelievable. And I am really excited to like see where it goes. And here's the thing, right? We can either choose to be not think that there's a possibility for change and not think that we can actually make an impact and change and go somewhere good. Mm-hmm. And or we can try to make that world actually come about. Mm-hmm. And then have a good time as we do it. So like, if the ship is gonna sink, I want to be like plugging the holes and singing and like having a good time as we're like, you know, fighting for our lives to make sure that, you know, humanity actually succeeds. Mm-hmm. And, consciousness pervades. If I was all, depressed and sad while the thing was happening, that's lame, you know, have a journey, have fun, right. keep it light, you know?
Totally. Yeah. Well, one of the things I'll say is that if we're going to try to plug the holes in the ship, then it's more fun to do it all together. And I find your energy to be completely infectious. And there's this feedback loop where we all choose coordinate over defect. And the more people choose coordinate, the better the coordinate decision becomes for everyone else. And it's that feedback loop that I'm really excited about.
Ether's Phoenix, you will be rewarded for your coordination in the future. Mm-hmm. Public good, solarpunk, mm-hmm. utopia.
Hello, hello. This is an Ether's Phoenix TLDR. So, Ethereum is all about building systems which enable mass coordination. And the most fundamental coordination game that we're trying to solve in Ethereum is the tragedy of the commons, aka free rider problem, aka prisoner's dilemma. In these games, you have two choices. You can either defect or you can cooperate. Defecting maximizes your short-term payouts, but cooperation maximizes your long-term payouts. And right now, if you think about it, right now it feels like we're living in a world where everyone is defecting. Cooperation is in scarce supply. So, how do we stay strong and cooperate in a world full of defectors? I got an answer for you. It's Ether's Phoenix.
put a little faith into your life. So what's Ether's Phoenix? I'm glad you asked. So picture a future where public goods are being rewarded with profits equal to their impact, right? Fairness ratio. We are rewarding public goods. Well, we can call this future, this utopian future, Ether's Phoenix. In this world, one of the most critical things that deserves retroactive public goods funding, reminder, that's just paying people rewards for the public goods they create. One of the things that deserves retroactive public goods funding is not just the futuristic public goods, but it's the early contributors who made that future a reality. That's the contributors like you and me today. So Ether's Phoenix will look back in time and reward us, the early cooperators, the early public goods creators. It's kind of like a reverse Roko's Basilisk, which is an evil AI that punishes you if you don't summon it. But instead, Ether's Phoenix rewards you for your early investment in public goods. So let's build public goods, let's invest in public goods, and let's start a retroactive public goods revolution. That's Ether's Phoenix for you.
We just heard from Carl Flourish talking about Ether's Phoenix, which is the opposite of Roko's Basilisk. Roko's Basilisk is a demon that punishes you for not summoning it, and Ether's Phoenix is an angel that rewards you for summoning it. So it's basically a recursive algorithm that retroactively rewards public goods funders in order for bringing public goods into existence. One of the things that's most interesting to me about Ether's Phoenix is, like, how do you know that it's good? So basically, in the X-Men series, there's a character that becomes the Phoenix, and she, like, turns on the X-Men for a little bit. And so I'm wondering, if you're bringing this Phoenix into the world, how do you know that it's a good Phoenix? And I think the answer is that at the center of it is that the algorithm only rewards you if you fund public goods. And that's a really hard problem to know, like, which public goods to invest in, but in the present moment. But if you do it retroactive, then basically there's a lot of consensus about how much public good, say, libP2P has created, or Scaffold ETH, or other public goods in the ecosystem. So basically you've got a recursive algorithm that rewards public goods funders for creating public goods, and then the result of that is Ether's Phoenix. So really interesting take from Carl Flourish.
So I my experience with Gitcoin grants is I've been doing this for 4 years, and it is sometimes a grind. I work long hours, and sometimes things blow up in my face. And I want to ask, like, do you feel like you've been grinding? And, like, you know, how do you keep that optimism alive when you're just working really hard on this on such a huge, ambitious mission?
Wow. A lot of things. One, know your boundaries. Mm. Make sure that you don't stretch yourself too thin. I have become extremely depressed to the point of, you know, being like suicidal, being very scared, very, very depressed, because I pushed my boundaries and did not know what I needed to, like, be a happy and healthy human being. So that is very real. Mental health is very real. Another thing is just during the grind, trying to keep the, you know, everything in perspective, right? Like, we are very small. We are very insignificant. We are part of these, like, big waves up and down. And it's, you know, I feel like very afraid sometimes of, like, losing what I have, right? I'm just, like, so fearful of change. And it's really hard to remind myself constantly, like, change is okay, whether it's up or down. Like, it is totally fine. And that, you know, once you like let go a little bit, it's a lot easier to be, to feel good, right? You're maintaining your mental health, you're being happy, you're, you know, doing that. And you're also not afraid of the future. And, you know, that helps with anxiety. So anyway, it's non-trivial, you know, but good vibes are important.
Nice. For sure. Yeah. Is there anything I didn't ask you that you want to say about regen finance, crypto economics, green pills, solar punk worlds? Is there anything I didn't ask that you want to say?
Can I ask you, how would you define, I just love the term regen finance. Mm-hmm. What is regen finance?
Well, back in DeFi summer, there was this thing called degens, like the degen score, degen became a meme. And I think it was kind of focused around people who are gambling with speculation in crypto. And what we've been trying to do with Gitcoin Grant's mission is to build and fund the open web. We want to create a world where the median software engineer can quit their job at JP Morgan Chase and work for the public good, work on open source. And I think that regen for me is just the opposite of degen. Instead of focusing on instant gratification and that gambling and that race to the bottom of the brainstem, it's about creating a world where we're focused on a little bit more long-term values, where we're focused on creating the world that we want to live in. Regenerative means that there is positive externalities to the work that you do as opposed to negative externalities. And so I think that regenerative crypto economics are mechanisms that create positive externalities. And that's what we're trying to meme into existence. But I don't know. Our marketing guy is like, Kevin, just pick a meme. Is it regen finance? Are you green pilling people? Are you creating a more solar punk world? And I say, it's all those things. So, yeah, I mean, what would you call it if you had to meme the world we're trying to create?
I would honestly, I would call it all the things, and I'd find one champion for each meme, because it's really about telling the stories in different ways, and it's all the same story, right? I really think that we are all saying the same things 99% of the time. We're all kind of, you know, we are definitely in this together, in a very real way. So I think kind of to each their own. And
one of the things I'm hoping to do is, you know, you can describe the world as much as you can, but if you can show it to people, you know, sort of like Ghost of Christmas Future style, like show them the world that we're building, is much better than telling them. And one of the things that's really exciting to me is that all of the regen projects that you're going to hear on this Green Pill podcast all stack on top of each other. Proof of humanity and retroactive public goods funding and Gitcoin grants and Common Stack all can be, and it can create a more solar punk public goods world. And if we can show people that world instead of tell them it, then I think that's what will really get people to turn the corner.
Beautiful. Yeah. And I totally agree. And I just want to remind people that even if it's green and regen and all these kinds of good, you know, good vibes things, it's also going to be fun and going to be crazy, and you're going to get your ups and downs, you know, it'll be great. I think we can have fun while we're improving and causing positive externalities. I feel like there's some kind of like weird appeal to self-interestness, you know, but I think that we can align our self-interests, right? That's the thing. I don't think that we should be like shunning self-interest. We should align our self-interests and have a good time with them. So anyway, that's my,
aligning the profit motive with the motive to do good can be a really powerful thing when those two things intersect.
Yeah. So regens is fun.
Regen is fun. All right, Carl Flourish of Optimism, how can people find you, and how can people find you, the projects you're working on online?
Great. So I work at Optimism PBC. That's at Optimism PBC. Definitely go to optimism.io. That's the place to be. And then I'm on Twitter at Carl_dot_tech. And yeah, definitely follow Vitalik also. I'm sure you do.
Well, Carl Flourish, thank you so much for being on the inaugural episode of Green Pilled. Great to have you, and looking forward to having you back in 2024 once we've created a more green pilled world.
Beautiful.
Peace out.
Peace.
Bye.